Here's your money briefing for Tuesday, December 3rd. I'm J.R. Whalen at the Wall Street Journal in New York. Credit unions are no longer just the small group at work that can get you a good interest rate on a car. They've grown to the point where they're buying small banks. But can they survive a recession? We'll ask a Wall Street Journal reporter to explain. First, some money and market news you should know. If you start seeing more pop-up shops around, don't be surprised. Industry analysts say that pop-up shops, those small, short-term brick-and-mortar locations for digitally native brands, are becoming an increasingly important part of the $3.8 trillion U.S. retail scene. Now, that's because they allow brands to use data about their customers to figure out the best time and place to set up a real-world presence and then close within a few days or weeks before losing profitability. Digitally native brands pulled in an estimated $27.1 billion in revenue this year. That's up $4.5 billion from 2018, and they represent 4% of all online sales. And how frustrating is it to grab a loaf of bread in your kitchen cabinet only to wind up throwing it out because it's gotten moldy? A survey this year by the American Bakers Association found that nearly three-quarters of Generation Z and millennial consumers ages 18 to 41 are bothered by wasting bread, and more than 20% say they often or always skip buying bread on their next trip to the store after throwing bread away. And more than half said they would buy more baked goods, including bread, if they came in smaller portions. Bread companies and grocery stores are listening. They're putting smaller loaves on the shelves, and that could mean a whole lot less wasted food.
Get exclusive insider access to Milan's style and design with WSJ Magazine and Indigare. Visit galleries, ateliers, attend WSJ Magazine's annual party, and much more. Book this once-in-a-lifetime trip at indigare.com/WSJ Magazine or call 212-988-2611.
Credit unions are all grown up. For decades, they were seen as a small, down-home slice of the world of consumer finance, but now their growth rate has rivaled banks. In fact, some credit unions are buying small banks. So what has sparked their growth? Wall Street Journal reporter Ben Eisen is here to explain. So Ben, since 2009, some credit unions have seen a higher growth rate than many banks. How did that happen?
So you've seen a bunch of different things really propelling this. Credit unions' growth has been going on for a long time, but it really took off after the financial crisis. And there were a number of things at play. People became disenchanted with banks and decided to switch to credit unions. Regulators also didn't crack down on credit unions as much as they did on banks in many respects. And what you saw is that credit unions really started to compete aggressively. They're able to offer lower rates sort of by nature of the way that they operate. And they use that to move into all sorts of different types of loans and really kind of gain a good market share there.
And those rates can be very attractive, but it really depends upon what you buy or what you want a loan for.
And so unlike a bank, a credit union doesn't answer to shareholders. It answers to its members, which all collectively own the credit union. And what it does with its profits is it returns them in the form of lower rates on borrowing or higher interest on deposits. And so that's why you can see a credit union offering a lot less, a lot lower rates than a bank on certain types of loans. And when you look at something like a personal loan or a HELOC, credit unions often compete very well in that area. They don't always offer lower rates. Right now, they have slightly higher rates on new cars, according to recent averages. But generally, on the whole, that's the reason that credit unions are able to compete as well as they do.
You mentioned HELOC, a home equity line of credit.
Yes.
There. You know, a lot of banks have pulled back on making car loans, but the credit unions have not.
Yeah, what you saw over the past 4 years or so is that banks really pulled back a lot, and credit unions kind of came in and took a lot of that market share. So in 2008, they made about 23% of auto loans, and now they make almost a third of auto loans.
A third of all auto loans, really?
Yeah, they've really gotten very big in that area. And credit unions have sort of always had auto loans as a bread and butter business, but it's really expanded. Nowadays, you don't have to go into a credit union to get an auto loan. A lot of them offer them what's called an indirect way through the dealership. So you might get your loan through the dealership, and it comes from a credit union.
And things have gotten so good, and credit unions in many cases have become so strong that there are now rules in place that govern the deals that credit unions are doing with banks. Some credit unions have actually purchased small banks.
Yeah, that's sort of one of the recent trends that you've seen. As credit unions have grown, they some of them are buying small community banks, and that's sort of one way to add to your deposit base, and be able to increase your business. And it's increasingly what we've seen, community banks being institutions that are really under pressure, both from the credit unions, but also larger banks as well.
And it's not as if all or even most credit unions have seen explosive growth. Many of the smaller ones have actually suffered.
Well, that's true. We should be clear that the growth in credit unions is, you know, in large part because of the biggest credit unions. You've seen some that are, you know, have grown to be $80, $90, over $100 billion in assets, but at the same time, you still have the vast majority of them are tiny, and they might have just a small amount of assets, and therefore be, you know, really kind of what you think of as traditionally a credit union.
But even as the stronger credit unions have become well-capitalized, some economists and analysts are a little wary of how they might fare in an economic downturn.
Yeah, I think sort of one of the uncertainties here is that, you know, the last time we had a financial crisis, credit unions were not this size, and now they are. Now they're as big as banks, but in many ways regulators haven't kind of clamped down on them the same way they have as banks. So could there be an issue down the road? I mean, it's, you know, who can really tell, but it's something that people are sort of starting to be more on alert for as these credit unions get so large.
And then also one of the reasons why they've gotten into car loans to the degree that they have is, I guess, that they're betting on people being able to continue to pay off their car loans even if a recession were to hit.
Yeah, and one of the things that you see credit unions get into more and more is these longer-term car loans, these loans that are 6, 7, even 8 years long. And that's a trend you see sort of across the auto lending space, that you have just these very long-term car loans, but credit unions sort of make a disproportionately large share of those loans. So, you know, that means that these loans are outstanding for a longer period of time, and credit unions really have to be careful to make sure that the borrowers can pay for, you know, that entire period of time.
And you've written about that for the Wall Street Journal. That can get consumers into a bit of trouble.
Yeah, definitely. It's something, you know, that we've also seen happen during the last decade or so, that people really get themselves very indebted by taking out a very long-term car loan.
Okay, that's Wall Street Journal reporter Ben Eisen here in our studio. Ben, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen in New York for the Wall Street Journal.